Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Welcome to the IMCA and AM Best Insurance Marketing Leader Lunch webinar. I'm Lori Chortis with AM Best. And joining me today is my co-host, Dave Evans. He's a senior associate at Artrike and an Insurance Marketing and Communications Association CMO Council member. Dave, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Artificial intelligence is revolutionizing insurance marketing by enabling more personalized and efficient strategies. Through advanced data analytics, AI helps insurance organizations understand customer behavior and preferences, allowing for highly targeted marketing campaigns that resonate with specific audiences. Not only can leveraging AI help organizations optimize their marketing strategies, it can also reduce costs and achieve better customer acquisition and retention. Today, we have a panel of industry experts here to discuss that and other topics related to the growing use of AI in marketing. Now let's meet our panel. Joining us today is Anne Ellis. She's the Vice President of Marketing at Crum & Forster. Anne, welcome, so great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited about the conversation.
Also joining us today is Casey Connors, Vice President of Marketing Operations at Trusted Choice. Casey, welcome. Great to see you.
Yes, thanks so much. Excited for today.
And last but certainly not least is Mitch Dunford, Chief Marketing Officer at the Risk and Insurance Education Alliance. Mitch, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lori. I appreciate the invitation.
During this presentation, we may mention the subject of financial strength ratings. A full explanation of AM Best ratings is available online at ambest.com/terms. The opinions expressed by our panelists are theirs and theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of AM Best. In addition to our other platforms, today's webinar is being broadcast live on LinkedIn. If you'd like to watch that, please join us at AM Best Information Services. Finally, we'd like to invite all of you to join in today's conversation by emailing us questions to webinars@ambest.com. Again, that's webinars@ambest.com. And I'll kick off today's discussion, and we'll begin with you, Anne. Can you tell us briefly about your company and how you're using AI in your marketing initiatives and strategies?
So quick overview, Crum & Forster provides property and casualty, life and accident and health insurance solutions. We are 200 years old, and we like to say we've survived that time by being underwriting innovators who craft specialty insurance solutions. Often they're from niche markets, and we work with both retail and wholesale brokers. So as far as AI, we're using it primarily as a productivity tool. It's not really there yet as a creative tool, although it may get there. So to give you two examples, we have a big project to make sure that our website content is really reaching our target audience. And we have an intern. We have a list of the top competitors for every product. She's going after their websites, pulling the right information, dropping that and our content into the tool, which comes back and says, this is what an average person looking at these websites is taking away as the marketing message. So we can know, you know, are we differentiating ourselves? Are we stating our key value prop appropriately? It's also telling us what are the keywords and phrases and questions that are used on all those sites. Obviously, we're getting that information from SEO tools like SEMrush as well. But because we're in specialty markets, sometimes the phrasing, the terminology is a little more particular or nuanced. So it's good to know that we have all of that on our site. One other quick example, very bad habit I have is overwriting. I used to be able to like put something aside for 2 days, come back and cut it down. Now I can just drop into the tool and say, reduce the word count by 20%, whatever I think is appropriate. And yes, I have to look at every word that I come back because sometimes they trim something I really need to keep, but I can get in 60 seconds, 85% of where I need to be when I'm editing, which is a huge help.
Absolutely. Casey, how is AI helping to open up analytics and efficiently streamline repurposing content? And in what ways are AI-driven analytics helping you better understand customer behavior and risk profiles?
Yes, multiple questions in that. So I'm going to start with repurposing content. My team does that a lot currently. I think from an efficiency standpoint, as Anne was mentioning earlier, you know, just we are churning out a lot of content, and to be able to leverage that across multiple platforms efficiently is very beneficial. For example, you know, maybe you have a long form blog post, turning that quickly into some ideas for social graphics or social media channels. I think, you know, we also do a lot of webinars that are educating, as we, my organization represents independent insurance agents and brokers of America. So we're representing, you know, independent agents across the country. So educating our members, we have, say, a webinar, we have it on YouTube, pop that YouTube link also into Gemini, as they're both Google products. And then you can help, you know, take an outline from that of turning that into a blog or also social media, you know. Also, to answer your question in regards to analytics, I think there is so much opportunity in that space. We, as marketers, we want to be able to take all the data that might be in disparate locations. There's housed in multiple technology places. So being able to pull that all together into one area to really get your insights faster. I think also better understanding audiences is a huge piece. I think that will even just continue to get better, depending also on what you're currently using. And if you are leveraging things like, say, Tableau or et cetera, you know, AI is already being built into that. So just being able to better equip teams from that standpoint, and then either turn that into more and faster personalization, as well as more predictive analytics of understanding your audience and where that should be going. So I think a lot of opportunity there.
Absolutely. Well, Mitch, there are many types of AI tools out there today. Are there any specific tools created exclusively for the risk and insurance industries?
You bet. There's tons. I mean, just Google it. It'll blow your mind. And if you attend conferences like InsurTech Connect or InsurTech Insights, so much of those presentations and breakout sessions are all about these new AI tools that are being invented as we speak. It's an exciting time to be a marketer in the insurance industry. It reminds me of the early days of the internet, you know, 20 years, 25 years ago, when it was exploding and everybody knew that it was going to change everything, but we weren't sure exactly how it was going to change things. Here we are again. We know AI is going to be a bigger and bigger deal, and the insurance industry is embracing it. I'm the CMO for the Risk and Insurance Education Alliance, formerly known as the National Alliance for Insurance Education and Research. So AI is a big deal for us. I mean, it's intelligence, it's education. And so we have created an AI tool that we call AlliBot, Alli Alliance, to help our students and our participants learn and leverage the power of AI in what they do, not only in their marketing, but in other areas of the business. I see AI, AlliBot, and other AI tools as an amazing competitive advantage for smaller agencies to compete. There's an organization that I'm aware of called ARC. Their website is arcrisk.io, where they use AI to compare policies and policy language. There are tons and tons of other unique AI tools for marketers that we use. There's a tool that we use for our podcast called Riverside FM, where you use the Riverside FM to record the podcast, but then the AI tools inside of Riverside, you know, automatically create a summary based on the content of the podcast. It automatically creates keywords, takeaways, titles, chapters. It'll even create a transcript that you can edit the transcript, and it'll edit the audio file in real time. It's amazing what's rolling out. ChatGPT is rolling out an AI tool called Sora, S-O-R-A. Google it. It's amazing. You can go in and enter, you can type in a prompt, and it will create a video that is so lifelike, it's hard to tell the difference. So it's a brave new world out there right now. for marketers in the insurance industry. And there are so many new AI tools being rolled out on a regular basis. And I think it's important that we all pay attention to what those tools can do for us. Our CEO, Will Hold, said the other day that, yeah, AI will probably replace some jobs. But the reality is that a human being that knows and understands AI and can use it well is going to be more of a threat to our jobs than AI itself. So it's important that we all learn how to leverage its power and use it well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mitch. I'll now turn over the discussion to my co-host, Dave.
Great. I'll try not to have the productivity of the conversation dip. You know, it is interesting, Mitch, when you were just talking. So in 2019, Amazon had this big move. They were going to go into Long Island City in Queens, New York. And it became, you may remember, Lori, it became sort of a political thing where some people pushed back. But the point was, what I found interesting is, you know, you think about, geez, that's an expensive place to do business, housing, just a cost of living. But the reason why, the number one reason why Amazon wanted to be there was they felt that the ecosystem, that when their employees were learning about all these things that all three of the panelists have talked about today, that literally at a meal or getting together, they would learn from people in other companies what they're doing in these areas to get the word out. So they saw it almost as like free training, that all of a sudden these people would just, you know, I hate to use the word synergy, it was kind of a buzzword 20 years ago, but there was this synergy outside the office. And I thought, you know, that's fascinating when you think about it, because I think about myself when I'm asking people questions. Certainly my kids are all working, would say, oh no, there's a more efficient way to, there was always something more efficient than I could do. So listening to the panelists, I guess it kind of leads me back to the thought that what you're doing today, and you know, these IMCA and AM Best webinars, really is a way of doing that online, to invest an hour. So I thank everyone for sharing these ideas. And with that, I'll kind of go back to Ann and say, Ann, I understand your company adapted ChatGPT in an innovative way to meet your specific needs. Could you kind of share with us how you're doing that in your marketing efforts and across the organization?
So it's more an organizational tool. The data team built our own version of ChatGPT, which we call Genie, Generative AI. And it interfaces with ChatGPT, so we get all the benefits of that. But our prompts and the way we refine the prompts and the content we get back stay inside our firewall, so we maintain our intellectual property rights to that. What a lot of people may not realize is that OpenAI, which built ChatGPT, generates revenue not only by selling premium subscriptions, but they will sell consulting services and their data training sets to companies building their own tools. And we chose to keep ourselves out of that. But we built different versions of Genie. So our CEO has written emails to employees every Friday for years. We fed it all into that. And now you can ask Mark. Mark Avey is our CEO. And if he has had an opinion on something, he will tell you what that is and cite the email communication where he said it. You can learn about insurance. You can learn about the history of insurance, our products, the company, or just use ChatGPT through Genie. And we're really trying to encourage people to do that because it is a productivity tool, but we just wanted to keep our information safe. And they've been sending out, you know, weekly training videos to really get everyone involved. And I know their executives who are writing memos, and they might have come to me before and said, I've used the word underwriting discipline 20 times in the memo. Can you help me rewrite this? And do I want to help them? Yes. Is that really my job? No. But now they can go to Genie and get some help rewriting things and finding alternate phrases.
That's great. And you know, it's interesting that you raise, Ann, this point about paid versus free. So that's mm-hmm. the thing everyone's watching now about these large yeah. investments, aside from the chip at NVIDIA, who actually had their stock kind of melt down this week. But that's really what's going on. And we're seeing some rotation in terms of some of these companies about whether they're really going to get paid for their paid. So, Mitch, can you tell us about the use of chatbots in marketing and how the development of Alibot, and I'm surprised you didn't name it after yourself, but and how it works?
Just ask Mitch, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, because we're an education company, AI is very important that we understand it and that we deliver an exceptional product to our participants. trust is a big issue when you're using AI. I mean, we're counting on it to give us, you know, great answers. And the insurance industry is very complex. So when we started to program Ally, and just like Anne, we built AllyBot on the ChatGPT platform, but we educated it with all of our curriculum for the last 55 years, all of our curriculum, all of our books. We even took transcripts from some of our programs, the faculty transcripts, and loaded that also in there. We loaded SIC codes, state regulations, so that our participants, when they use Ally, are confident that the information that it's returning is accurate. It's just critical. We use it ourselves. We use a combination of Ally and ChatGPT for a variety of marketing initiatives. We've used it to write press releases. We've used it to write email copy. We've used it to write articles. It's interesting. Sometimes when you use an AI to write an article, it comes out too AI-ish. You guys know what I'm talking about? It just doesn't sound right. It's not in your voice. So it's a great tool for breaking the back on content, but I always like to go in and edit it and make it sound more like myself. I don't know. Dave, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's, and you know, your point about trusting it and the accuracy. I remember when I was learning the industry, how important the difference was in terminology, like knowing the difference between a rodent and a vermin, which I didn't think I would ever need to know the difference. Excuse me.
Exactly.
So yes, insurance is indeed nuanced. And so, Mitch, what is the potential impact you're seeing on search engine use by consumers and SEO?
That's a great question. I would describe that's a big deal for us in the marketing side of the industry. And my colleagues on the panel here can pipe in, but we have been for years and years and years invested in SEO, right? We're trying to work the Google algorithms to bring us up to the first page. Well, how is AI going to impact the use of traditional search engines? My wife, I would describe her as kind of a middle of the road techie. You know, not a big time technology user, but she, you know, she understands it. Just the other day, we were talking about taking a vacation. She pulls out her phone, and instead of using Google to research a hotel and a vacation, she used ChatGPT. How is that going to impact everything that we've done all of these years as far as search engine optimization? I don't know. What do the rest of you think?
Go ahead. Why don't you guys, why don't we take a minute? Let Ann, if you want to start out with your thoughts.
Sure. So it's interesting to think of ChatGPT as a disruptor for SEO.
Exactly.
And because I'm thinking as a user, I can go and type in, you know, what does cyber insurance cover? I get back five pages of links. They may or may not take me to an answer. At the top are going to be the paid search links. And those are people who want to sell me a cyber policy, but they may not answer my question. And for 6 months, everywhere I go online, I'm likely to be stalked by ads for cyber insurance. If I'm not ready to buy, I'm just generally thinking about it. It's easier to go to ChatGPT, ask the same question, get an answer. May or may not be comprehensive, may or may not be completely accurate, but if I'm a non-insurance person, I'm probably going to be satisfied with it. And meanwhile, as a marketer, I've lost the opportunity to bring you to my website and tell you how great my products are and our services and our resources. I've lost the opportunity to learn from you. Where did you come from? You know, an ad, Google, an email. Where did you go? What was the content path you followed? Where did you stay? What did you ignore? Because all that data, as Casey was talking about, really helps us refine our marketing content, refine our marketing strategies, understand what our customers and prospects want to know from us. And if even some of them start bypassing traditional search tools where SEO has an impact, we're going to have to find another way to get that data or a better way to reach those people.
Yeah.
The other thing,
Go ahead, Casey, then we'll come back to Ann.
I was just going to add to both Mitch and Ann, you know, I think that it's just becoming more conversational how people are searching for things in general, just how you interact with ChatGPT. So I think, you know, I think insurance, we're already thinking about adapting strategies to answer questions for consumers, but thinking about that further in an SEO strategy, as well as understanding how Google takes that and whether that relates to SERP or the featured snippets. And I think still having an, you know, an emphasis on the EAT of experience, you know, from Google, the experience, expertise, authority, and its trustworthiness, but how that is even more important as you're thinking about your content, that it still has to be human and authentic in order to even show up, whether someone is using Google or ChatGPT, is just so important as we think about our content.
Oh yeah. And a further thought.
So one thing we don't know about, or we haven't fully quantified yet, is the bias that's built into tools like ChatGPT. So with our tool inside our firewall that like Bench, we've stuffed it full of all the information we have, our products, our services, everything, just to see what would happen. I typed in what's a good insurance company for cyber insurance. And it gave me a list of five companies, and Crum & Forster was not on the list. So of course, my next question was, why are we not on this list? I said, oh no, Crum & Forster is a great company. I gave you a list of the biggest companies and the best known brands. Okay, that wasn't what I asked for, but that was an inherent bias that somehow got coded into the way ChatGPT interpreted that question, which gives, you know, an advantage to bigger companies and companies with a bigger marketing budget than I have.
Yeah,
so we need to figure out, how do you deal with that? And I always wonder then, how far are we from OpenAI deciding to monetize ChatGPT and offer you, you know, some sort of pay to play to wind up in an answer like that?
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, people are a little distrustful of the altruistic, you know, open AI thing, that ultimately someone's going to make some money off it, or will try to. And by the way, Mitch, since this is being recorded, this session, I would never try and describe my wife on anything. I would
as a back. Five.
Yeah, and so, you know, sort of keeping along that line, just to drill down that other point about maybe getting leapfrogged on SEO, you know, this is the huge disruptor, right? This is the thing that you just wonder where it's going to go from this in the future. It's sort of like Yellow Pages, right? When we think about, for years, agents, you know, how many Acme Pest Control, AAA, all these things about getting listing at the top of for Yellow Book alphabetically, we may be approaching some sort of point of inflection on this in the same way. To your point, Ann, who knows what is, you know, the algorithm and how you can actually influence without paying to influence, right? That's going to be the question. Can you organically tilt it or get the criteria in a way that's maybe a little fairer and not biased towards the larger organizations? I don't know if anyone's any thoughts about that.
Yeah, and can you trust the platform that you're trying to use? I mean, as we all know, the insurance industry is very complex. Policy language is very technical, and not every AI tool is probably trustworthy enough to rely on it, which is one of the reasons we launched Ally. In fact, Ally has earned the CIC, the CRM, and the CISR designation of ours. We actually gave the bot the exams and it passed, just so that we're confident in the quality of the content coming out of it. But it's a brave new world out there. I know ChatGPT has launched a new version of ChatGPT called Chat Search. So it looks like they're going after search engines. And to Casey and Ann's point, how is this going to impact us? And how is this going to evolve over time as far as our ability to use AI in marketing, in search specifically?
Well, and with that, just to make sure we cover one of the points, we haven't really talked about the intellectual property issues. And Mitch, I know you've kind of been plumbing this area about what, you know, we remember the old fair use criteria. So what's your thinking, or certainly Casey or Ann? So I don't mean to limit. I know, Mitch, we had this conversation. So why don't you start it?
Yeah, you bet. I'll start off. You know, we've been using AI to write articles. So I was really curious to find out if AI creates an article for us, even if it's within our own AI tool, can you copyright it? So we've had the same intellectual property attorney for decades here at the Alliance. I gave him a call and yesterday, and he said that any content created exclusively from an AI tool is not copyrightable. There, he sent me some legal opinions here, and I'll just read you this first paragraph so that we're all on the same page. It says, this was March 15th, 2023. The Copyright Office announced that works created with the assistance of artificial intelligence may be copyrightable provided the work involves sufficient human authorship. And I tried to nail him down as to what sufficient human authorship means, and he wouldn't give me an answer. It's really on a case-by-case basis, but I think it's important that all of us in the marketing industry understand that, and that we're keeping our ears to the ground as to how all of these legal issues begin to evolve as people lawyer up and case law starts to roll out. We need to pay attention. But if you just ask AI to write an article, you can't copyright it.
Casey or Ann, any other thoughts?
Not so much on law of content, but there have been cases, not in the insurance, it was an airline industry, where they were using AI to feed their chatbot. And one of their customers wanted a refund, flight had gotten canceled, as so many do these days. And the chatbot said, yes, you get a full refund. That's our policy. And the airline tried to argue, no, it's not. And said, the chatbot was a separate tool, separate voice. But no, you put it out there, you are liable for the answer, which makes me wonder what happens when insurance companies start using chatbots to answer customer questions, because it's an established precedent. If the customer reasonably thinks something is covered and your chatbot might give them that, then no matter what the policy says, it's covered. Wow. So I think we have to be very careful how we use it there. And you know, make sure that we don't suddenly, as marketers trying to improve a customer experience, wind up with the company on the hook for a claim we never intended to pay.
Well, just with that in mind, Casey, so Trusted Choice puts out lots of content for agents to use to save time and also to make sure it's accurate, not that agents are ever incorrect in their content. So what happens under this maybe new normal where someone might be able to kind of rip off the content that you're using now? Maybe the idea to Mitch's, to the legal point that Mitch raised, and Mitch, thanks for paying that bill for us. I don't set it our way, is, you know, that's a big issue because you don't want someone, you know, in insurance for years, people do Me Too filings, right? Some insurance company files a product and next thing in a state, it gets approved. And next thing, another insurance company basically takes that Me Too. Ann's kind of smiling. She knows, you know, this happens all the time. So Casey, any thoughts about that in terms of just, are you like, okay, we're going to put it out, it's ours, and hopefully if someone else, you know, we all remember the cis and deceased days. I got a couple of those letters in the past where someone said, hey, you're using our content, or Getty Images, you know, using an image that's copyrighted. So Casey, any thoughts on that, how to approach it?
Sure. I mean, I think that also goes back to how content has evolved and search has evolved, as you're not going to want to put out content that somebody else has on their website anyways, because then Google is going to think that's duplicative content and, you know, that can ding your SEO. So I think, you know, overall you don't, you're not trying to plagiarize content for various reasons. I think, you know, that one area we're kind of exploring though is, do you create policies if you are even just leveraging a tool to write some of your content? So is that, you know, in the era of transparency right now, are you putting a policy on your website that this content was supported via AI or not? I said, you were talking to agents about best practices around that. So I think there's a whole slew of reasons not to just pull content and as that, you know, affects a lot of things on your website. But I think that, you know, is definitely something to keep in mind.
Well, and your point about you're responsible for what ChatGPT put out there, mm-hmm. you know, for agents, all of you know this, professional liability exposure is huge. And, mm-hmm. you know, you get different opinions about whether you should be an expert or how much you extol get. I know there's something Casey spends a lot of time on balancing, you know, what agents should put out versus maybe being a little over the top. So the question is, you know, in this other era is, do you think people are maybe giving it the attention due is when it comes to insurance and you're putting something out to ChatGPT that may not be correct from an insurance standpoint, hence, you know, professional liability exposure. I don't know if anyone's been wrestling with that thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you use ChatGPT, we train our team on this, you know, the Big Eye Markets has a whole guide on do's and don'ts of what to say on your website, as, you know, you're not supposed to be an expert and a lot of nuances. Whereas if you just say you're new to the industry, you work in social media, you're like, I need help writing my social content, and you put something in ChatGPT to help you with, say, you know, business insurance, like it does come out with very generic content mm-hmm. that you're not going to want to use from an E&O perspective, as, you know, unless you're building your own internal and training it not to say certain phrases. I think that is certainly something to keep in mind. And if you're not developing internal processes or have your own ChatGPT, that is a major flag, as we are a risk averse industry. And there's a lot of things that we need to keep in mind. That's something that you can't just willy-nilly be throwing out social media content that's created in ChatGPT.
Great. So. Lori, anything from your end?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. But I'd like to remind everyone joining us today to send us your questions to webinars@ambest.com. Again, that's webinars@ambest.com. We just talked about some challenges. We talked about the potential for bias and trust. Casey, are there other challenges the industry faces in adopting and using AI as a marketing tool?
Sure. I mean, I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit. You know, I think both Crum and Foster and Mitch's organization have done amazing things in being able to leverage it internally. But I think from a broader standpoint, you know, there might be some overall internal resistance on a wide scale at certain companies to have or adopt it, and maybe really talking up through in the entire ranks. We're marketers. We love it. We know that it can help, you know, us efficiently do our jobs better, but making sure to communicate that throughout the organization and why that's helpful from the bottom line, I think, is just maybe an obstacle that some organizations might be facing. I think, you know, when we are talking to agent, these tools take time to learn, like any technology, and make sure it's the right business decision for your organization and how to implement it correctly. Even just practicing it, I think we all know this has happened so fast. And just being able to keep up with it is hard enough, you know, as us as marketers, but it's even, you know, it's touching a lot of other factors in the industry overall, that I think is some major implications of how things are. And I think, you know, Mitch touched on this a lot, is that it's also maintaining that authenticity in what you are writing. You know, we are constant storytellers. We will need to have brand consistency, but if you're utilizing a tool, making sure that you're keeping that in mind. And then obviously Dave's point is there's a lot of things to keep in mind just from data privacy, you know, internal, you know, PII, whether that's E&O exposure, just understanding how critical it is with GDPR, protecting proprietary information. So I think there's so much excitement, but you know, there's also things, particularly I know all of our legal teams are keeping a pulse on to make sure that we are doing it correctly.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Anne or Mitch, any thoughts to share in terms of challenges you're seeing? Or
I would take the challenge question a little sideways, because we are all marketers, and every now and then you hear, oh, ChatGPT is going to displace you. And I would argue it's never going to displace like seasoned marketers who really know their job. And I've talked to people, you know, agents, brokers we partner with, others, people at different companies, industries, and they say, oh, no, I use ChatGPT or I used AI to make my marketing tool. And it's great. I taught my company voice. And what I have found, so I've been with 3 carriers, 2 TPAs in the course of my career. And every time I go in and I talk to the sales team, the business development people, the product owners, the business leads, and say, why pick us? What makes us better? And almost universally, the first thing that comes back is we have the best claim service. Okay, everybody can't be best. And these days, you know, great claim service, professional claims people, that's table stakes. Expert underwriting is expected. That's table stakes. And if you can't find a way to find a true differentiator or make what it is about your claim service that is truly better, and as Casey was mentioning, tell a story about it, bring it to life with data, a case study, an anecdote, an endorsement, so that someone seeing that goes, yes, that's how I want my customers' claims handled. Yes, that's how I want to be treated in the middle of a claim. So it's real to them. It's not just a kind of plain beige, we have the best, this, that, or the other thing statement. And you need to be a professional marketer to know when you haven't yet articulated the value proposition. You have to do what I call peel the onion. You go, no, that's not it. Keep telling me, what else do you have? Why is it better? What does that mean? And eventually you get to something. And then we can turn it into however many campaigns we want. We can go back to ChatGPT or an AI tool and help us tell that story, convert it, repurpose it. But if you're not a professional marketer, I don't know that you're going to get the best marketing story out there.
Great.
Yeah, I agree with Anne, Lori. I think this is a tool that we can use, and those who learn to use it well will have an advantage in the marketplace. But let's not forget that this is a relationship business, and AI cannot replace things like, you know, integrity, empathy, compassion, the feeling part of the business, the humanity of it. And I think we can't lose that. It's still important that we bring that to the relationships with our customers.
And I would take that even one step further, and I'd love to hear Casey's thoughts on this. We rely on brokers and agents to bring the customers to us. We don't sell direct. And while we want to people feel good about the company, understand what we offer, it's still their agent or broker saying, hey, we're going to place you with Crum & Forster. And so we've always done relationship marketing. We put a huge emphasis on building relationships, you know, mutually beneficial relationships with agents, with brokers who understand our products, who know our appetite. That's never going to go away. And we need to focus on that more than ever, because even when people are searching for things online, you know, I've been in focus groups with customers and said, yeah, I don't want to buy my own insurance because that's not what I do. I run a restaurant, I run a manufacturing plant, I run something else. My insurance agent knows this stuff, and I want them to tell me, you have the right coverage, you have the right limits, you have the specialty coverage you need, and this is a company that's going to pay your claims the right way. They still need their agent and broker, and so that's still the channel that we cannot neglect, however much marketing we're creating with these tools.
Well, thank you, everyone. Dave, I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, I just, you know, one thought on this authenticity thing. One of my kids has to do a lot of writing in her job, and she wanted to try ChatGPT just, you know, to kind of cut down on, you know, sort of the save the 20% or 50% or whatever the time. So she went through, actually my MIT son-in-law went through and uploaded her last 6 months of newsletters into Claude, something called Claude. And then now using that tool, when she wants to get a thought across, like, you know, the jobs report yesterday that came out, it's more, it sounds more in her voice. So it gets her a little further down the highway in authentic by uploading all her other. So probably going to see more of that kind of approach to things, but agents aren't going to do it. You know, agents are, I always feel like the moon, you see the moon so brightly, but it has no light of its own. It reflects the sun, of course, and that's how I feel about agents and their carriers. Mitch is laughing. I know it's a very profound thought, Mitch, but you know, that the agent's brand is the carrier's brand, and the carrier's brand is the agent's brand, and that's why the agents need to adopt reasonable tools and have the stuff like Trusted Choice to put out. So, no, I took some notes during this, so thanks for informing me.
And I think we have to remember, Mitch, we've all called it a tool. It is a tool. And the person who learns to master it is going to get something good out of it, whether it's teaching it your brand, your voice. I mean, I can use Photoshop, but what can I do what the professional designers I work with can do? No, because they have the vision, they have the imagination, and they've mastered all the content and image creation tools in a way that I couldn't hope to. So, you learn to use it, learn to make it your own, make it better and better, and you'll get better things out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think from an agent perspective, you know, there's a lot of tools being developed for agents to leverage, particularly on an analytics standpoint, for them to better understand their business, to easier cross-sell and understand where maybe where their profit margins are higher. I think even in talking to some agents, you know, that's obviously we're still in the throes of a hard market. Talking to some agents of, you know, that are smaller based broker agencies that, you know, their frontline staff are burnt out, even popping in some of their email language in ChatGPT to be like, can you help me make this sound nicer? Like they're tired. So I think there's ways, you know, across the board from business analytics to easy day-to-day customer service, that it can help, businesses, you know, maintain.
Great. Zave, before I turn it back to you, we do have a question from a viewer. When thinking about investing in AI tools, what metrics are you looking at to determine if you have the right ROI? Anyone like to take that?
Alphabetically? Who knows?
I mean, I think that does a little bit depend on first, you know, taking a step back in that of what you are using it for. I think there's a you know, very narrow niche AI tools that you could use, say, for your analytics. So are you measuring that based off of your efficiency and that you're proving insights, you know, to be able to directly impact your business? Or, you know, are you implementing an AI tool? You know, like, you know, I would love to hear Mitch and Ann's who's made internal AI tools themselves. Like, do you guys measure your ROI on those? It might be hard to quantify that right now.
Yeah, it's still so new. That's really hard to do. My personal opinion, at least right now, is that what we're going to see are siloed AIs based on a specific task. So for example, you might use the Alliance's Ally bot if you have a technical question or you need to write a technical article. You may use another AI tool if you need to create a video or an article or something like that. A colleague of mine, Jeff Buck, on our marketing team uses an AI tool called adcreative.ai, where you go to the AI, you upload your brand kit, basically all your colors, your fonts, and so on, and it will help you create ads. You can actually drop in the URL to a page on your website, and it will create an ad for you for social media, a banner ad. You tell it what size you need based on your brand standards and the webpage or the product that you want to promote. So it looks like there's going to be these specialized AI niches that marketers will be able to go to based on what they need to do at that moment.
Go ahead, Ann.
I think what we're missing in some of this is a baseline. I mean, how many of us have been tracking how long did it take you to write that article and then turn it into a social post and get someone to create a new graphic for the post or turn it into other pieces of content? The non-automated baseline is how long did it take me, and then how long did it take me to train the tool to get me something that is very usable, if not perfect. And then ultimately, what are the savings? It's going to take us a while to get the tools to the point where they can measurably produce productivity. But we're going to need to start thinking about how do we measure all those things today and how do we measure it going forward? Because that's going to talk about the worth.
Yeah. And, you know, insurance companies are measuring the ROI first on things like claims and underwriting, right? Those are easier, not easy, but less challenging than to do it in marketing. You know, I'm back from the old days when I was a magazine publisher where people would say 50% of my advertising dollars, and Mitchell laugh at this, are wasted. I just don't know which 50%, right? That was the old saw we used to hear.
Right.
And but that's going to be the case initially when the financial types ask people running marketing like you guys, like, you know, so how's this working? What are we saving? Eventually, and I think your point is spot on, there will be a baseline to measure. But, you know, there's always that danger in quantity because this is still about quality. So the quantity part about churning out X, that's the danger. Oh, look, we're churning out all this. It's sort of like when we see websites, some agents' websites still use a lot of brochureware. And in this day and age, you got to think brochureware is kind of dead in terms of someone actually reading it. So I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And it might be interesting to track. And we had an ad created entirely by human beings, one that was AI generated or assisted, which is more impactful, which is bringing more people back to the website, which is creating a better channel. We used it for this product, but not that one. Did we get more at-bats? Did we get more inquiries? It's always hard to tie insurance marketing to a direct result because we can do a great campaign in February. If you're not renewing till September, you're not going to move till September. But as we start looking overall holistically at the data, are we getting more at-bats? Are we getting more web traffic? Is it translating through a call to action? And where was AI in creating some of the things that helped us get there? But I think that's a long-term data play, and we're not going to have an answer next year.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful.
Dave, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I think, if there's any other free-flowing ideas, but I think, you know, this is the beginning of the conversation, and they're not even in, use another expression, we're not even in the third inning yet of this.
Yeah.
There are those concerns, we hear about deep fakes and, what impact this is going to have on society and all that. But, that's not a reason pragmatically in your organizations for all of us to learn. I did a prompt engineering class and I started a second one, and I'm sort of the old dog. You can sort of see we're on screen, so it's not hard to fathom. And, we're all challenged, right? We no one gets away with saying, well, that's not my job anymore. That's not my job description. So unless there's anything else, Lori, from my end.
Well, unfortunately, we are nearing the end of our time, and this has been a wonderful, informative discussion. But before we go, I'd like to go around the panel and ask everyone their final thoughts on the future of AI and how they believe it will revolutionize or impact marketing and insurance and risk management over the next several years. So, Anne, we'll begin with you.
So AI is here to stay. The tools keep evolving and getting better because they are learning. I think we have to learn how to use them and find, as Mitch said, the right tools for the right job. And if you don't learn that, I think you and your company are ultimately going to be left in the dust because the people that learn how to use these are going to get ahead and find ways to create more impactful marketing, reach the right customer segments, track the results. So it's up to us if we want to keep being great marketers to master this next round of tools that's available to us.
Casey, thought on the future of AI in marketing?
I agree with Anne, obviously. And I think really it comes down to all of these tools are helping us as marketers, helping us as businesses be able to better serve our customers. So I think it's offering that efficiencies and offering, truly supporting business decisions in a way that hasn't been able to do before with such a large amount of data. So it's exciting. And I just advise everybody to dive in if they haven't.
Great. It definitely is very exciting, Mitch.
Yeah, I can't really add anything else other than jump in with both feet. The way you learn this stuff is just to start using it. download ChatGPT or another AI tool and just start messing around with it. And that's how we'll learn as this technology and all the legal aspects of it evolve. Do something. Jump in, get involved.
That's wonderful advice. Well, thank you so much, Anne, Casey, Mitch, and Dave, and to all our viewers who joined us for this discussion. We'll have this interview posted in the IMCA and AM Best video libraries. We'll also have a transcript available shortly. We'll also be reporting this in Best Review on AM Best TV and our other text and multimedia channels, as well as providing this content to IMCA for their distribution. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.